This is the Ico. Welcome back to the Ico. This is episode 4. I'm Clayton.
And I'm Kent.
And we're here today to talk about some news in the Odessa sphere and the Odessa family group. We have an interview with Kylie Virginia, the hostess of the Secret Santa that's going on right now in the Odessa family, as well as some music we've seen cropping up on the page. To kick us off, the big news I think for a lot of people is still the box sets being delayed yet again.
Yeah, one more time. So the latest update that we have is that it will be able to ship on or around December 23rd, which is possibly the worst shipping date that one could ever ask for, given the amount of online holiday orders that are rolling through just around that time. So I don't know. I'm still in the I'll believe it when I see it camp here.
Yeah. On one hand, maybe you'll have something extra to open at Christmas. On the other, those poor, poor mailmen.
I know. I saw someone say it's like a Christmas gift from our former selves, having ordered it back in July, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see. They are saying that it's because of production delays. And again, we mentioned the first time this popped up that we would rather have it done right than have a piece of vinyl that's poorly pressed or a whatever piece inside that's just not up to the quality standards that we would hope for.
We don't want another loyalty gate on our hands.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when that does arrive, we'll hopefully be doing some sort of unboxing via this podcast and maybe some video as well. But I'm sure folks will beat us to it.
It's going to be a light with videos, I'm going to predict. Just tons of people showing it off. And I can't wait to see it, honestly.
So fingers crossed that we'll see that on Christmas morning. But if not, it'll be a Happy New Year gift to all of us.
In the name of the season, though, we were thinking, and I think it's been posted a little bit, picture this. We like our picture this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Odessa Christmas album.
I think somebody even commented that they would commit some serious crimes to get their hands on something like that. Well, they were asking for suggestions of what Christmas album / vinyl exists. And some of the suggestions were Cascade, who's probably one of the top electronic artists who's actually put out an official album, and Lindsey Stirling. Those were really the only two that popped up. There's all sorts of one-offs here and there. But yeah, Odessa would certainly, I think, be a perfect match. Just imagine a Philharmonic orchestra with Odessa, with all your holiday favorites.
A very future-based Christmas.
Playing on a nice Yule log.
Aw. How nice.
On Christmas morning. It'd be great. We also saw some other holiday things being posted in the group. One, which we had a good chuckle of, was Elf on the Shelf in Odessa Christmas attire, including a nice t-shirt and some candy bracelets and a candy necklace, it appears, and some other fun items. So
the whole Elf on the Shelf thing is kind of lost on me. So every time I see it, it's just a funny face. He looks so mischievous.
For sure, yeah.
And are they usually wearing that tutu?
No.
Okay.
No, he usually just is skinny stick figure man with red, like a red outfit. And he's just supposed to, parents use it as...
Be good.
To blackmail their kids, essentially, to say, the elf is watching. Back in my day, Santa would occasionally peek through the window.
What?
Yes.
No way.
For real. And then if you were doing something bad, you would have to shape up. And you knew that Santa was watching. But now, kids these days just have this twinky little elf on the shelf.
Are you sure that the Santa was a relative or like someone? Or was it? Were you being peeped on?
That's possible. Who knows? But I liked it, so it was okay. Also, some folks posted some ornaments, some Ico ornaments that they found at Kohl's, which I guess I need to go and figure this out, but it's like three or four different Icos all connected together. Also, some other people were posting earrings and all sorts of other stuff that they've just found out in the wild, so it's everywhere.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah, there's plenty of options for the Odessa lover on your list this holiday season. So we are about to wrap up this decade, and of course this year, But Billboard's list of the top dance electronic albums was just released a couple weeks ago, and In Return was actually number 4.
Which is incredible to see.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, at large, I feel like that it's largely unappreciated.
For sure.
So it's really nice to see it at such a high ranking.
Yeah, especially because A Moment Apart is what sort of brought them to, mm-hmm. you know, the fame that we know them to have today in many ways. But that album peaked on September the 20th, 2014, and the lasting staying power of that remained to put it at number 4 for the rest of the decade. The rest of the albums that are on that list are a little obscure, in my opinion. I guess not necessarily obscure, but Lady Gaga took the number 1 spot.
I was going to say, number 1 I thought was very strange.
But Billboard's, Billboard's dance charts often have what we would say is pop music, but mm-hmm. if it's something that would be, I guess, played on a dance floor somewhere, they include it. So Daft Punk's Random Access Memories was number 2, and David Guetta does Nothing But the Beat was number 3, and the Chainsmokers at number 5.
Hey,
with Collage. Actually, Lindsay Sterling was number 6. Funny, she's getting 2 mentions in this episode. So, congrats on that one. And of course, to wrap up just the last couple of years, the AMA tour was obviously the biggest thing to happen for Odessa and fans of them as well. And I saw on Instagram the photographer, the main tour photographer for the guys, posted a plaque that he had received sort of as a thank you for being on tour. And I have to assume that everybody that was part of mm-hmm. the AMA tour received this. But it had some nice stats on there that I wanted to share with you. So the tour that ran from September 2017 through July 2019 covered 207,000 miles, 25 countries. And this actually surprises me a little bit because I guess I just hadn't fully grasped the numbers.
I think it's easy to forget the scale that they're operating at on this tour.
But 146 shows on that tour. That's insane.
And at first I was like, oh, that makes sense. But as you break it down, like, well, that's still like over 70 shows a year.
Yeah.
Over a few months.
Yeah.
And like a break here and there maybe in their touring, but that's incredible.
That's a lot of times to say, let me see you one last time.
146 one last time. That's incredible.
And a total of, get this, 2.85 million fans. Now, I'm sure some of those are repeats, given what we've seen and have talked to other fans who have been to upteen amount of shows, but right. nonetheless, that's a lot of tickets, and that's a lot of people that have taken in that show throughout just a relatively short amount of time. So congratulations to Odessa and everybody that worked on that tour. I mean, it's a big group of folks who make that happen, from the music to the production to assistants that are dealing with day-to-day stuff, and just an insane amount of folks that all have their hand on something like that.
And thank you for doing it.
Yeah, obviously we would not be sitting here right now had any of that been done. Some other stuff we're seeing just out in the social world. A lot of people sharing their year end and decade long Spotify stats. And of course, a lot of folks have Odessa at the top of that list. It wasn't the number one for me for the decade. Unfortunately,
what was your number one, Kat?
Well, it was a weird one-off thing. So I was a big fan of the Nashville TV show, and every song that they put out, they would put the name, like the actual artist mm-hmm. who sang those tracks, and then added Nashville cast with it.
Yep.
So there ended up being, you know, hundreds of tracks. And by the time I listened to all of those, it put Nashville cast as my number one artist for the decade. But then Odessa was number two.
Odessa was my number one.
Yeah.
And on the other stats, like your music through the seasons and your favorite songs of this year and this year, I think they were on every single list. If not number one, like number two. Like they were there consistently.
Yeah. The other thing that was cool about the stat for me was looking back at 2011 and seeing the very first dubstep song that I had ever heard, which was Skrillex's Cinema remix, Benny Benassi. And so it was just like a nice throwback, and that's kind of what introduced me to the current wave of electronic music in the first place. So it was really cool to see that and everyone else that was sharing that. I know there was a lot of, I guess, split feelings as to whether it's worthy of being posted on everybody's timeline, but I thought it was nice to see.
This trend doesn't bother me. I like seeing
I would much rather see that than many other things that are being posted on people's timelines. Also, of course, everybody is memeing and Googling about, that's a funny word, not like actual Googling. Over Baby Yoda from the Mandalorian series.
Us included.
Yeah, of course. But there's a, I don't remember what episode, maybe the third or fourth.
They were flying through space, and little Yoda, just so rambunctious. He was pressing buttons when he shouldn't have. And those are probably one of my favorite videos out right now, is the constant re-edits of adding different sound effects and music.
And Ian Canterman in the Odessa Family Facebook group did a very nice edit of that for us all to enjoy. And we've seen so many others with all sorts of types of music, but shout out to Ian for putting that together. Also, a fantastic project that was done for, I guess, a semester end final project or something by Kim Newcomb. I don't even know what to call it. I guess it's a typography project.
Yeah, it seemed like it was from a typography class.
Okay.
All about just making basically a pre-design out of words.
Yeah.
And our friend Kim chose the intro from Onapart, the Russian cosmonaut story, and made an incredible, incredible booklet.
Yeah.
She's actually, I believe, selling right now.
She is. So for $15, you can get an actual print of that. And yeah, it's fantastic. Someone even commented, they're like, well, since I'm not getting a box set, this is a nice way to still have a printed piece, you know, as a coffee table book or whatever it is, which that's a part of that box set that I keep forgetting even exists, like the photo book that's going to come with it. So even more excited for it.
You should have seen him, the hand move. He wrung his hands together like, yes.
Yes.
The photo book.
Yes, yes, yes. So, so props to Kim, and you can look in, I think it's actually on Marketplace, like in the Odessa fam group, that you're able to get that. Also, Ashley in the group posted some Odessa patches just a few days ago.
Absolutely amazing looking patches.
And we scooped up some of those.
Yeah, we did.
They're in the mail on the way to us now, but I think she still has some of those that were just phenomenally well done.
And one more piece of art. It's also December graduation season. Tons of graduation caps. How did I get here's being one of my favorite.
Yeah, those are super creative, and it makes me upset that I didn't do anything on my graduation cap whatsoever.
It's not really in the culture of where we graduated from, but having been to a graduation in the last week, same thing there.
Really.
Tons of decorations.
I feel like some schools don't allow it.
Right.
But then they do it anyway. And it's like, what are you going to do? Let me get my diploma or whatever? I mean, I guess some schools could be that strict. But yeah, those are impressive. And there's several floating around. I remember seeing some back in May as well. So if you're looking for inspiration for maybe your graduation next May, you can search for some of those right now. And just one last piece. This is a heads up. If you're at all close to Northwest Arkansas, or will be traveling through there during the holidays, or we'll just be there before the 6th of January, there's a fantastic traveling display happening at the Crystal Bridges Museum of Art there, which is a fantastic museum in general. They also have a Northern Lights outdoor lit up forest display happening right now. So it's a really nice combination of traveling art exhibits for us folk, if you will. But there's a display called Crystals in Art, Ancient to Today. And I've seen some people posting photos of this. I haven't had a chance to go yet myself, and I'm going to go in the next couple of weeks. And there's just a beautiful Iko that's almost similar to some of the totems.
There was Carl, the Iko that was all lit up and had mirrors all inside it, so you can go right up to it and look into the infinite Iko.
But this is like a 8-foot version of that. So that's in Bentonville, Arkansas. It's the Crystal Bridges Museum of Art. And you can find more info on that on their website. So that's what's happening out in the Odessa world. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk with Kylie Virginia, who is the creator of the Secret Santa Project.
So my name's Kylie. A lot of people in the group would know me as Kylie Virginia. That's how I am on social media. I actually could not point back to a direct time, like, where I discovered that I discovered Odessa. I'm actually really big into mixtapes. So I think that I had heard Odessa probably a million times before I realized who they were. And then I feel like something happened where just at the right time, I actually discovered Odessa, and it was through Falls. I don't remember exactly what time, but needless to say, it was through a really hard time. And I heard that song and I was like, damn, this hits home. And I think I probably have now listened to that song over 1,000 times, no exaggeration. So I'd say, I mean, I love that meme. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's that, like, you know, I didn't originally plan to become like a serious fan. I was just going to be like a casual fan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But now here we are.
Yeah. And you've certainly run with it in helping to build some community through the Facebook group. So tell us about that experience so far and how you've decided to be the cultivator of some of that culture within the group.
So it actually requires a bit more of a backstory, kind of leading to Electric Forest. This time last year, my mom passed away, and my dad had already passed. So it was a really rough time. Of course, Falls was on repeat over and over again. My boyfriend and I were going to Electric Forest, both of us never having gone before. I was already in the Odessa family Facebook group, but, you know, hadn't really connected with anyone. When we went, Odessa, this was my first time seeing them. I feel like I'm super late. I mean, I guess I caught them right before the end of the finale. So being at Electric Forest, watching my boyfriend take in Odessa, some of the songs that kind of pulled me out of those dark times, and then watching him take it in, being there just completely dissolved in that moment. It's one of those feelings, like, as long as you hold on long enough, you're going to get to that feeling. And so it was a beautiful start. Odessa was actually the only set that we were going to see, and it was pretty much the only set we saw from start to finish. The rest of the weekend, we actually did something I didn't even know existed, but we ended up doing the whole time traveling thing in the hangar. And we time traveled to see my parents. You know, they, as you walk, I don't know if you guys have ever done it. Have you done the time traveling?
We haven't done it ourselves necessarily, but we're aware of it at least. Tell us a little bit more about it, I guess.
Yeah, so it was kind of spur of the moment, just chance that we ended up being around there and someone telling us what it was, so we got in line. But you go to the time travel agency in the hangar, and we get up there finally, or the woman asked me, where did we want to go? And I said, well, where can we go? And she said, anywhere you want. And so the magic of the forest begins. And I was like, okay, well, I feel like it'd be pretty dope to go to the 70s to party with my parents in their prime. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And my boyfriend at the time, he was like, okay, I just want to go with her wherever she's going. Let's do that. And it's a scavenger hunt where you have to finish these clues and solve these clues all throughout the hangar. From the very beginning, as soon as we left that time travel agency and started kind of figuring out the clues, there were a lot of little things that just felt, I don't know, I'm still convinced that there's a lot of sorcery going on at Electric Forest that I will never understand. But the first room that we walked into was the Matchmaker Depot. Everything's kind of different rooms. And we walk up and they said, you know, what do you want to do? And I guess because it was in my mind already that I was going to be traveling to party with my parents, I asked if we could play the Newlywed game. And they were like, oh, yeah, step right this way and open up a door. And I shit you not, we walk onto a Newlywed game set. And I only chose that because it was my mom's favorite game. We used to watch it together. But then we ended up winning. We ended up winning the Newlywed game. And there was a lot of little things in solving the other clues, to make a long story short, that, like, my parents' favorite football teams were right next to each other on these banners that were part of the clue that we had to solve, and just a lot of little things. But I went to an apothecary and he healed my grief. It was kind of like a visual exercise, but at the end of it, I really felt like my parents were, like, frolicking through the forest with us. I couldn't remember that they were gone for a second. We ended up getting engaged the night before. He proposed to me after we were traveling all throughout the forest. You know, finally seeing Odessa that weekend with him, kind of soaking in all of that magic. It was perfect for me. But then after all of that, the next morning, we woke up and I was looking at my itinerary and it said, reason for travel, grief, your baggage, your pineapple backpack. And so I had this idea to kind of bring everything full circle and celebrate my parents. I made these personally designed buttons and had a bunch of stuff that I'd planned on gifting at the Giving Tree. But it was Sunday and I was kind of lazy at that point and kind of combined that idea. And I was like, you know, we wanted to come finally meet the Odessa family that, you know, I've been communicating with so much in the group. Why don't we go over there and see if they would be interested in helping us like spread the love in honor of, you know, our engagement and, you know, of my parents. And I wrote this little letter and it was the Odessa family mission. And, you know, I went over there and kind of explained it. I met a few people. It was kind of a whirlwind, but I met a few people and they accepted the mission. But it spelled out just the whole story of how, you know, we got engaged and we time traveled to party with my parents. And as crazy as it seems, we wanted everyone to help celebrate us and my parents. And they did. They shared everything that they got in my pineapple backpack. I was able to kind of repurpose that and find a more positive use for it. And then going into the forest, finally on Sunday, I decided to do a luminary bag for my parents. And I still actually don't know who they are, haven't reconnected with them since. There was a couple at the luminary bag making station and they saw me crying, you know, everything kind of caught up to me. And one of them gave me a stone. And it was like a cluster of stones. And they said, it's to signify that like, no matter what happens, you're still connected. These stones are connected. You're still connected to your family. And we got to talking and they gave me a hug and they realized that we were the ones that were at the Odessa family camp earlier that day and heard the story. And I don't know, it kind of felt like, again, everything just being connected, you know, asking Odessa family to help me spread that love and then seeing them at the luminary, just bring it all full circle. I don't know. It's, I feel like that doesn't even do the connection of that whole story. Like kind of like finally having a reason to celebrate my parents instead of, you know, succumbing to all of that grief. And then having like a new family. I feel like Odessa family adopted me that day. Mm-hmm. Like I'm 27 years old and I don't have parents. So it's, you know, to an extent I say, like, I feel like an adult orphan. But that day at camp, I felt like they just had this unspoken bond of, you know what, we're going to take you in. You're part of our family. Obviously a very long story, but long story short, the reason I've kind of spearheaded some of these other community events or, you know, things to make people feel more connected to the family is just because of everything that happened at Electric Forest and how I felt like I finally found my new family, so to speak.
Yeah, your way to give back in many ways.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us then, you've had that honestly heartwarming, amazing experience in the forest, as many people have, and expanded by the presence of Odessa. Let's talk about the Secret Santa Project and kind of how you came to that idea and what the... I don't know. How's that looking right now?
So it's a little stressful. I'm so thankful that everyone's understanding, because I swear if I had a dollar for every time I said, I'm so sorry, I'm just getting back to you, I would have a lot of dollars. Yeah. But yeah. Everyone's been super understanding. A lot of people have jumped in to help. And the idea kind of actually stemmed from the finale adoption. Did you guys know about that?
A little bit, but in case, you know, some others aren't familiar, give us a refresher.
Okay, so, you know, coming back from Electric Forest, kind of on that Odessa fam high, and knowing that I could not get off work to go to the finale, I was feeling pretty bummed and kind of selfishly thought it would be really cool if I could have someone bring me, so to speak, but on like a popsicle stick and take a picture of me there. So it was like I was really there. And I think it was Coco in the group. He was like, I will take you, I will print you out and, you know, carry you around with me the whole finale. And as I thought about it, I was like, it would be really cool if more people that would love to go to the finale, but for whatever reason couldn't, if they could also experience that. So I put it out to the family. I said, you know, if whoever's going, fill out this form. Whoever's not going but would love to go, fill this out. And I was able to match anywhere between 2 and 5 people, popsicle stick people, to someone that was going. And then whenever they went, they carried the popsicle stick people around and took pictures of them and just really got like a that feeling like they were there even though they couldn't. And it was awesome seeing the pictures roll in, getting all of the messages from everyone, like, thanks for, you know, putting this together. I actually was so devastated that I couldn't go, and, you know, it was just kind of made it a little better, made the FOMO a little bit more reasonable. So seeing how much of a positive impact that had, I kind of thought, well, you know, the holidays are a time that is about giving, and for me, the holidays are not great anymore. I thought it would be cool if I had a distraction of sorts to, again, give back, but facilitate something for the family that made other people feel the way that I felt about the family, kind of brought more people into the fold. So I created this form that allows people to, you know, say how many people they wanted to gift to, how many they wanted to receive from, what their budget was. And then I was able to match everyone accordingly. But 140 people signed up.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a lot. I was very taken aback by how much response there was. I think for the adoption, we got 75 people there that wouldn't have gone otherwise, which I was blown away by. So then almost double that number for the Secret Santa. And then I realized I kind of made it a little harder on myself by allowing everyone the choice of how many gifts they wanted to give and receive. Because it wasn't just a one-to-one match. I had to multiply however many people wanted. Some people are giving 4 gifts, some people are giving 1, and then matching it with their price range. There's a $10 to $15 range, a $25 range, and then a $50 and up. So it got a little overwhelming to try to match everybody, but a few people jumped in. Again, this is the family. They're all like, we know that you just got promoted at work and you're stressed. Let's help you out. So a bunch of people jumped in to try to help me send out the matches via message because, again, I didn't really think that through. And it's one thing to match everyone, but to keep it a secret. And then that required me to message 140 people. So it got a little crazy. So having a few others jump in and help me send out the matches was a huge help. And there's a few kinks that I'm still kind of working through, like people that wanted to join late that I'm trying to find a way for them to still participate. But for the most part, it seems to be smooth sailing. I've gotten a lot of messages about what people are gifting and how excited they are about it. And it's really cool to see how personalized that people are going. There's a lot of homemade gifts that people are doing. And one of the gifts that I'm personally really sad I did not match with this person, she got the person's favorite song engraved onto a wooden Iko.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. And from what I understand, it was actually outside of the range she was in anyway, but she was like, you know what, this is fam, and it's the holidays, I know she's gonna love it. So just seeing those responses has been really cool, really heartwarming, and kind of makes the extra stress a little more worth it.
And as part of that sign up process, you, I think, had asked folks, you know, a number of different questions, and I remember you had posted something about reading some of the responses to those. I don't know if there's any that stood out that you would be willing to share, or if you can just paraphrase or summarize some of those for us.
Yeah, so without going too personal into them, the main themes in all of them, one of the questions I asked is, like, what does an Odessa fam mean to you? Like, what about Odessa that have, like, cultivated such an amazing group of people, essentially? Like, why are you still, what keeps you coming back? What keeps you in this group? And And like, what gets you excited about Odessa? What's your favorite song? What has Odessa done for you, essentially? And obviously, I have a big connection story of, you know, how everything kind of came full circle. And I feel like that was the theme with a lot of people. A lot of people posted about going through a really hard time, and whether it was Falls or whatever song that pulled them out of the depths of the darkness. Without going into all of the detail of the darkness, I feel like it was just a very overwhelming response of that, that Odessa, their music gave people something to hold on to. Whatever song it was, or a lot of people actually talked about people they met through the group, whether just through messaging or through some post in the group, and then they just continued communicating and might have eventually met up. Maybe you're still planning on meeting up. But just the friendships that have created out of this group, it kind of, the general theme was that. Everyone has seemed to be as touched as I think most of us are. But yeah, I was crying the first time I read the responses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was quite the tearjerker.
So some lessons learned maybe for the next round of Secret Santa as well, huh?
Yes. So there are plenty of those. It kind of got to be extra difficult to track. Okay, who have I already requested on Facebook? Who have I messaged but hasn't seen it? Did it get filtered into some crazy secret folder from Facebook?
Right.
All times 140, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So I'd say the biggest one is that I would have started a lot earlier. I definitely underestimated the amount of time it would take to send that stuff. And I don't want anyone to have to stress or rush. You know, they're trying to get them as close to Christmas as possible. A few people have, you know, ordered something so extravagant that it won't be here for a little bit. But I would say overall, just starting a little earlier and maybe promoting it a bit more, because there was a lot of people that, you know, might have not seen the messages initially or seen the post that wanted to get involved. And me wanting to include them just added a whole different beast. So I think if I promote it a little better next year, I plan on doing it again. If there's anyone that in the group wants to help out, help me where my weaknesses might be in the organization of it, I think it'll go a lot better next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we certainly appreciate your efforts and time and energy spent on that. I'm sure it's making a ripple across the community that you probably won't even see the full extent of.
Yeah, I think it'll be worth it, though. Like I said, it's this time of year is not the greatest, so it's a welcome distraction. And I'm super thankful for everyone in the group that has stepped up to help. There's even, you know, someone in the group that's not home right now, and she had signed up for 4 different gifts. And I reached out to the group and said, would anyone want to sponsor these gifts on her behalf so that she can still receive the gifts? And I think I ended up getting like 10 messages of people that wanted to help out. Mm. So yeah, that whole family dynamic, it definitely,
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely strong. I got a card in the mail yesterday from someone in the fam who, they just wanted to make my time right now a little bit brighter. They sent me some Electric Forest stickers and ICO stickers and stuff, and just a really heartwarming letter about how they knew it was a tough time for me and they wanted to make sure that I knew I had someone if I needed someone to talk to.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen in everyday life. Random strangers, really, if you haven't met someone in person. But I feel like that boundary is completely knocked down with the family. It's like, we're here for you no matter what.
It's a heartwarming story to hear, I guess, when there's so much conversation about, like, the, I don't know, negative side of social media and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to hear another angle.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the only reason I'm on social media anymore is, I mean, most of the fam groups. I'm in a lot of other artist groups that I'm, you know, pretty big into, and I'd say Odessa definitely wins by a long shot in terms of the sense of community and all of that. But yeah, there's not much else bringing me to Facebook anymore except for all the fam groups.
Yeah, I've heard some other people say the exact same thing, actually. You mentioned Falls several times, but what are some of your other favorite tracks that are kind of on repeat for you?
So it's I have a top 3.
Okay.
Falls is one of them. Late Night is one of those songs that, so I have this playlist and it's called Skate Flow on Spotify. And so I skateboard, and one of the reasons I like it is just because it feels like I'm flying for a bit. I don't, it's kind of hard to explain if you haven't done it, but
sure.
One of my favorite things to do is to put on my headphones, listen to, you know, those types of songs that make me feel like I'm flying even more. And Late Night is one of the top ones. I would actually really like to see, you know, like all of the Spotify Wrapped stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
I wish that you could see how many times you've listened to an individual song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one is up there, for sure. I don't know. I'd imagine it'd also be a good song. I've heard people say it's a good song to snowboard to. So it's got like a similar vibe. And then
I know that I feel listening to Late Night. It reminds me of like cruising around like a midnight city. Like just a very, a very like vibey beat. And it's, and the live show stands out, especially because it's that red and blue constant flicker back and forth. It, I mean, it's a vibe. I'm completely right there with you. It's one of my top three.
Yeah. It's really cool to see their actual music video for it too. I know they like sourced out different clips from people for that like road trip vibe, I think. And watching it, it gives you like a visual to how it feels internally. They're just, I mean, they're magicians, I feel.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Some sorcery going on with Odessa and Electric Forest. But my final one is Something About You.
Tears.
Tears,
yes. Every time.
That song is, I feel like that would be the soundtrack to my life. Just like the best possible moments, even in the worst possible moments, it like brings you back to that energy of your best possible moments. And I cannot think of the name for it, the life of me right now, but there was a Netflix video or documentary recently. I think it was called XOXO maybe. And the girl from Modern Family, Haley, she's in it, and it's a festival thing, and like the, I don't want to give it away, but the culmination of all of the events of the festival, when she finally is like out into the crowd and just immersing herself, I guess, in the festival, that song starts playing, and the way she's like dancing around and just everything disappears around her, that's the way I feel when I listen to that song. So bringing it back to Electric Forest with my almost at the time, not knowing, but fiance, like dancing around with him to that song, just like a whole different level of happiness and bliss, like everything else disappears around you. And I think it's really cool just to think about the power of music in general. I think that's probably a better answer to the question before of why, you know, I've tried to do a lot in the community and bring people together. And I think it's just that connection between music, knowing that we've all felt certain things and we've all had these extreme emotional experiences and physical experiences with this music. It's really cool to connect with other people who appreciate it as much as you.
I feel like we're at a state now with these groups and everything. It feels like the culmination of music lovers, right? Like we all have this idea of music bringing together people, but now there's a way that you can find these groups and really finally do what you've always dreamed it would be, you know, whenever you want. And like it's an incredible time to be a fan right now.
Yeah, like it's like an extra sense of purpose. I've recently started kind of creating some designs. I made Electric Forest buttons last year and been designing some Odessa related stuff. They're very good muses, for sure. But it's ever since I left Electric Forest this year, my creativity and passions have been at an all-time high. And I think giving people some place where, like, you know, I don't use Facebook much other than the fams, like I said. But, you know, if you post something about how much you love this song, how much it connected with you and, you know, how it pulled you out of something really dark, you know, a lot of the people that are on your feed, you know, that aren't in the music scene or don't know them, they're not going to get it. And having a dedicated place to get people that are going to get it, it's definitely beautiful. But yeah, thank you guys both for having me on. And if anyone ends up listening to this from the Secret Santa, I really appreciate everyone's patients for the project and then just your helping hand. I'm really excited to see how much light we can bring to people's holiday season in the fam.
Thanks again to Kylie for joining us and for all of her efforts on the Secret Santa project. We're going to share some music for you that we found and that other folks have been talking about. The first is a Foreign Family artist. It's Robotaki, who has been around for a while, has done some major remixes that have picked up some good traction, one being Daft Punk's Three Rezzed and also the Chainsmokers' Closer a couple years ago.
This is hilarious in its own way, I think.
But. Yeah, for sure. So his actual name is Preston Chin, and he's from Toronto, and he has a master's degree in genetics.
Oh, okay.
Which has probably nothing to do with music, but maybe the patterns help him in his creative process.
Shapes and signs and logarithmic functions.
Yeah, all of that. So this track is from a 2-track EP. This one's called Quasar.
Next up, we're talking about an artist that's been actually hyped up quite a bit within the group for sounding very similar to Odessa. Mm. The name is Pines. They're actually a DJ duo based out of Australia, Adam Dorman and James Keneally. The song is 1990, and they actually just got a major announcement. They're playing Electric Forest this year and the Castaway Festival in Australia. Those are the only two tour dates listed on their site. But here it is, 1990 by Pines. Maddion is another artist that's been talked about a lot recently. You've probably heard him partner up with Porter Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been doing this for quite a while, and I feel like his sound has really evolved over the years. Because actually, when I first saw folks talking about Maddion in the group, I thought, that's kind of an odd person to bring up. But then I listened to the album, and I thought, oh, okay, I get it.
That EP actually just came out in November of this year, November 15th to be exact. It's called Good Faith, and this is Nirvana off of that album.
We've got one last pick for you, and this is Enzo. His name is Michael Enzano, and in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, he says that he paints a picture when creating music in, quote, just in my head, I like to visualize a lot of colors to how sounds go. That definitely gives me a certain sound for some reason, which I think is relatable to a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the visuals that we percept when we listen to other people's music. But a lot of folks are talking about Enzo as well, and he just announced that he'll be on tour with Liquid Stranger for a pretty aggressive date tour that kicks off in early 2020. Here's a track that actually came out last year, but is one that has been making its rounds and features samples from Alan Watts. This song is called Overthinker.
And all so-called civilized peoples have increasingly become crazy and self-destructive because Through excessive thinking, they have lost touch with reality. That's to say, we confuse science with the real world.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We love doing this for you. We love to hear your feedback. If you could, leave us a review, leave some 5-star ratings on iTunes. Where can we find the show, Ken?
Yeah, that should certainly help us out. You can find links to all of the podcast providers at theicopod.com. That's also where you can leave us some comments on this particular episode, share your stories with us, your thoughts, recommendations, suggestions, whatever that may be, or you can also do it on any of the social platforms in the comments there. Again, that website is theicopod.com.
We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in.